there. There's one thing I didn't announce this morning. I forgot. Got so many announcements to do. Next Sunday evening at 5:30. Next Sunday evening at 5:30, we're going to have a meeting, a planning meeting for the whole fall up until at least after the first of the year, right after the first of the year. If you've got any, anything that we're going to be doing that you may be involved in, you might want to be involved in this meeting. I'm talking about Christmas play, what we're going to be doing for Halloween, Thanksgiving, we got some Christmas events coming up, Valentine's banquet later on in February, all the things that would be going on that we might need to get some things in order, you might want to be involved in, what we're going to do and all that. So we're setting all that up to get the calendar kind of advanced. So at 5:30, planning meeting. And everybody, you know, you're welcome to come to that. Anybody's welcome to come. So next Sunday at 5:30, next Sunday afternoon at 5:30 before the evening service, we're going to get some of that. Some of it kind of dictates as far as the dates go, but, we're going to set that up. Got some events with the Word of Life, the Reverb program, Reverb going on over at Lynchburg, big deal. So we're going to get the whole calendar set up. Need to get that done. 2 Kings chapter 20. Verse 1, the Bible says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah and the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the singing and our fellowship time that we've had, and just the reports of prayers that have been answered. We thank you for that. Lord, now I pray that we'll have a heart and a mind that's attentive to your word, that we can be calm in our spirit. Lord, allow you to speak to us today through the preaching of your word. Lord, you know every need that each individual that's here has, Lord, and I just pray you speak to them about that need. And Lord, we know you can also meet every need. Lord, we pray now that you have your will and way with us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title of the message there is Set Thine House in Order. Set Thine House in Order. We see Hezekiah, he was a good king. The Bible, a lot of times it says the kings weren't so good, that they did evil, that which was evil. But it says about Hezekiah that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Just a couple chapters before that, he took down all the places of worship, idol worship, removed the high places, broke the images, cut down the groves. They'd even started to worship that brass serpent that Moses had made in the wilderness wandering. He destroyed that because it became an idol to him. And, kind of got things in order there. 2 Kings 18:5 said he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. And in verse 6 it said, "For he clave unto the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses." Man, you know, that's a pretty good testimony for anybody, really. A pretty good testimony about Hezekiah, that he did those good things and followed the Lord. And the Bible tells us, when you study all that, that the nation prospered, and that under his leadership, and defeated the Philistines, and he was defeated the Assyrians. And so the nation was doing good. But you know, one day the circumstances changed when he got a word from the Lord. It said, "Set your house in order." It said, "You're going to die." Man, well, that's devastating news. I don't care who you are. That's some devastating news. Hezekiah was only 39 years old. But I'm going to tell you, as you get older in life, you know, 39, 79, it doesn't make any difference. When you get a word that, "Listen, set your house in order, you're going to die." Man, that is, just turns everything upside down. And the Bible says he turned to the wall and wept, and I think we can all relate to that. But I want you to see a few things today. One of them is this. Somebody had made this statement, says we're all terminal. Some are wise enough to know it. You know, nobody gets out alive unless the Lord comes back, right? So we're all terminal. Some of us are wise enough to know it. And I really want to focus on the part, though, it says, set thine house in order in verse 1. Set thine house in order. And, you know, as I said, he was a good king, none like him. But the fact that he was told to set his house in order, I thought about that. And it tells us that there was probably some things that he needed to deal with. Obviously, there would be things, financial things, maybe if we got word that we weren't going to live very much longer than, you know, a lot less longer than we intended. We'd certainly have financial things. Hezekiah, being a king, would have some administrative things that he would have to take care of. But then also, you know, I think that when you look at it from a spiritual sense, I don't know. It said Hezekiah was a good king and that he prayed before the Lord. But, you know, we'll talk about that in a second. But when we think about this, if we put ourselves in his shoes, and if we would be honest with ourselves and be honest with God, that if we got a word this way, that we would all be honest and say, you know what, there's some things, maybe even spiritually, that we need to get set in order. Some people maybe more than others. And so, you know, there was a fact of imminent death changed so much in his life. And, you know, you'd have to start thinking about your own life. If you were faced with imminent death, what kind of things would immediately change in your life? The priorities, probably our priorities would change. You know, I remember, I'll never forget when Jimmy Valvano, the coach of, used to coach University North Carolina State. They have the Jimmy V Foundation now every year. And a lot of you, if you watch sports, they show a clip of him. You know, he was dying of cancer. He knew he was dying. But he went to a function when he set it up. And, you know, he was up there on the platform. And, you know, TV is real particular about, you know, you got this much time because then we got to go to a commercial break. And I remember Jimmy V out there talking. You know, he was out there and there was a guy apparently off stage going, you know, and he had some more to say. And he said, you know, he goes, listen, he goes, I got a guy over here telling me to stop. He was kind of laughing about it. He goes, you know what? He goes, I'm dying. Like, I care about cutting off what I got to say right at this moment. You know, he didn't have, the priority wasn't to finish on time for the television to run a commercial. You know, a lot of those little trivial things that go on in life would suddenly, you know, the priority for that would, I would imagine, would change in our life. What about our attitudes about a lot of things, man? Don't you think there would be a lot of things in life that seem so important or seem so bothersome, that seem so worrisome in our life now that suddenly wouldn't be such a big deal, would it? When we got news like this, the concept of time would change as well. And you know, so I think Hezekiah turned to the wall and wept. I don't think anybody wants to die or get news like that, but I think he knew he had some things he needed to set in order. And I believe he thought he probably realized he needed more time to get some of those things done. So just got a couple, 3 points for you today. I don't know why, for some reason, I was really late getting started preaching this morning, but I'll try to give it to you fast. But you know, I want you to, you know, I want us to get something out of it at the same time. You know, the fact of his death set in order for Hezekiah are some things that should set in order for us as well. And the very first thing we'll see is that it set in order his relationship with God. It set in order his relationship with God. You know, the very first thing that it said that he did was he turned his face to the wall and he prayed to God. He prayed to God. And, you know, all of a sudden, I don't know what was going on in the kingdom that day. I would imagine being a king of a pretty good sized group of people that, buddy, you got a routine and you got an order and there's all these things and you know, people are waiting to talk to you and there's all the people that are under him need to talk to him about the day's business. But I think when he got that word that suddenly, you know, that he's going to die, that, you know, all of a sudden he's, you know, I don't care about all that other stuff that's going on in the kingdom. I got to talk to God. I got to talk to God. And you know, our lives a lot of times, don't we? We got all these things that are going to hit it. Tomorrow morning, you know, the alarm clock's going to go off. And boy, we got a boom, boom, boom. We got things we got to do. And oh, at work and man and this and that and all that. But I'm going to tell you what, if you got a word from God that day that said, hey, listen, you're going to die and you're going to die today or you're going to die tonight. Suddenly, I don't think you'd be worrying about what's going on at work and what's going on in the kitchen and what's going on all around and whether the lawn's mowed and the laundry's done and the dishes are done. I don't think it'd be that important to you. And so many people I find today that, you know, look at us. The house didn't half filled up. Last week we was packed out. And you know, people that they got all these things that's got to be done or we're going to do. It's so important to them. But I think it would have changed if they got a word from God today that said, hey, you know, you're going to die. I mean, that's just the reality of it, and we understand that. I don't think you can live your life totally like every day thinking, man, I'm going to die today. But at the same time, it should help us prioritize particularly our relationship with God. And so he didn't worry about the finances. He didn't worry about running the kingdom. He didn't worry about those petty things in life that kind of bog us down. You know, he dealt with his relationship with God. And as I said, he had a relationship with God. He was a praying man, said he was a good king, said he didn't depart from the ways of the Lord. I understand that. But let me ask you this. Think about this. I think Hezekiah would have said the same thing. We're here today, right? I'm hoping everybody here has got a relationship with God. I hope you're saved. I hope you got a real relationship with God. I'm not talking about just knowing about him, who he is, knowing about Jesus, knowing about the cross. I'm talking about you have a personal relationship with God. I hope you have one. If you don't have one, we can take care of it today in a heartbeat. We can do that. But I think we've got a relationship with God. But how many of us would be honest and say, you know what? It could be better. Huh? It could be better. How many of us know in the back of our mind that, you know what? Man, you keep telling yourself this, that I could have a closer walk with God, and one day I'm going to have that closer walk with God. I need to do some things, but you keep putting it off, and you don't have it. You know, when he turned to the wall, the Bible says he turned to the wall. You know what that's a picture of? There's a visual picture. He turned to the wall, with everything else got put away, put behind for some time. I'm not worrying about nothing else. I'm just going to turn my face to the wall where I'm not seeing nothing else. I don't want no distractions and nothing else is getting in. Nothing else is important but my relationship with God. Man, I mean that's what, you know, there's times, you don't have to wait to get a word from God that says you're going to die. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to die. Okay, I don't know when. I'm not saying, but you're going to, if the Lord doesn't come back, and he might, but you're going to die if you don't. And you don't know how much time you got. So, but he said, yes, I'm going to turn to the wall. I'm going to turn away from everything else in life, and I'm going to turn to God. The priority is now that God is first, and that's where God ought to be in our life all the time. That's where God, then, you know, that won't have to be something we have to deal with. And so, you know, if we keep everything real, I think we all could be honest and say, hey, my relationship with God could be better. And you know what? Then that would be something that you would need to set in order. And there's some things that we need to set in order in our lives. This fact of death led him closer to God. And, you know, I believe when he prayed, what kind of a prayer do you think Hezekiah prayed now? I don't think it sounded like a Wednesday night Baptist church prayer meeting prayer. Do you? I think it was a little more sincere and a little more earnest. And a little more fervent, maybe a little more is not good. It was probably a lot more sincere and a lot more earnest and a lot more fervent. What kind of prayer would you pray if you got that kind of news? You know, it was, the Bible says, an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It worked. It worked. And so he set in order his, for him, the fact of his death, it helped him set in order his relationship with God. The second thing, it set in order his perspective about time. I think the one thing, you know, I've heard people say this and say, you know, I'm just not ready to die. My own mother said that. My mother was she thought she was dying when she was. We didn't know, but she said, you know, she goes, I'm not ready. I mean, she meant in a sense that unfinished business and things that she needed to tend to were not ready. Listen, you know, when we get to our dying day, whatever day that is, there will probably be, for most of us, be some things that we want more. The thing that we would want more than any other thing, and I've read a lot of people's last words as they laid on their deathbed, and you can read them and, you know, look them up. One of the things that most of them wanted was just a little bit more time. Just one of the queens of England, who wasn't a very good queen, forget which one, but she said, you know, I'd give my whole kingdom for just a moment of time. Just a moment of time. I want some time. And you know what? We always think we have more time. We always think we have more time, and that's why we always procrastinate. We always put things off. We think we got, well, I'll do it another time, because we always think we're going to have more time. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4, verse 13, it says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. And so a lot of times we think in that sense we have more time. In Mark chapter 13, verse 32 says, but of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, he says, watch. Right there, it's coming up on a year. A year ago, I can't remember the exact day, but you know, Rick Richardson's brother passed away. He'd gone hunting he'd gone on the elk hunting trip with me the year before, and he was going to go last year, and then he had to have a shoulder surgery, so he didn't go. And you know, slim guy, healthy guy, loved the Lord, man, prayed, read his Bible. I mean, he was serving God. I mean, no doubt about it. He's a saved man, no doubt about it. But you know what? He's about my age, and man, I mean, you know, when I was 20, my age now seemed old, but now that I've gotten there, it doesn't seem that bad. You know, it seems okay. But Hetzel, he went to bed, and he woke up in the middle of the night, and he had a headache. And he said, it's really bad, I've got to go to the hospital. And they got him in the car, and he was still talking when they got him in the car, but by the time they got to the hospital, he never spoke again. Had a brain aneurysm, blood on the brain stem, took him off life support. That was it, 59 years old. Didn't have no time. There wasn't any time to say goodbye. There wasn't any time to say I love you. There wasn't any time to say I'm sorry. There's nothing. There was no time. See, you got to set your house in order now. Because, you know, not everybody's going to get a word from God that says, hey, look, you got such and such a time and this many days and all that. That's how long you're going to live. Man, there's people that die just like that at the drop of a hat. No time. When Rick was talking to me on the phone the other day, and he was going up out of Colorado Springs, and all of a sudden he said, oh no. I said, what? He said, man, there's an accident. It must have just happened. And there's a car that has burst out in flames, and the flames are roaring out of it, and people are running to it. I said, well, is anybody in it? He goes, I don't know, but people are running to it. I don't know what happened. You need to set in some things in order right now, today, as soon as possible, because we don't know about time. We don't know. The third thing is, he set his house in order spiritually, and I know this would probably, the other two things, time and his relationship with God, would fit under this, but I want to look at it in a different point, from a different point as well. I think the whole thing is really about getting our house in order spiritually, which could involve some physical things. I mean, it can involve physical things. You know, a lot of times people look, and you know, and you may be in this category, there might be some things that you need to physically get out of your house. Just get it out of your house. I'm talking about your physical house. There may be things that you have to do something physically to get it out of your life. You know, whatever it is. And there may be some things physically you need to get into your house. Some things you need to put in order there. Spiritual issues. Set in order those things. One of the things that Hezekiah would have to do as a king If a king knew that he was going to die, usually what they would do is they would set up the next king. Usually it's one of their children, but they set up the king. And they say, okay, I'm going to have to set in order the heir, the one that's going to be the heir to take the throne when I leave. And, of course, his son was Manasseh, and he did that which was evil. And I know he shared the throne with his father somewhat. And, you know, it made me wonder about this. I said, you know, I wonder, Manasseh was a pretty evil king when you study him. How did Hezekiah do as a parent? Now, it's not saying that Hezekiah, he could have raised his child right, taught him the right things, prayed with him. He could have saw it all, and his child still could have gone a bad way. Adam and Eve raised both their children the same way, and Cain was a murderer, and Abel, he worshiped God the right way. I know that. But you know, a lot of times you think about it from parenting point of view, maybe Hezekiah was turning to the wall and saying, man, you know what, I could have done a better job raising my kids. Well, I'm going to tell you something. We got a lot of younger folks here. A lot of you got children, got some new babies and young kids. I'm going to tell you something. Right now is when you got to raise your kids. Right now is when you got to teach kids that God is a priority in your life. You can't not have God a priority in your life. And then when your child is 12, 13, 14, 15, 18 years old, sit around and say, boy, and God was never a priority in your life. He might have been a priority, but he wasn't the priority. And then all of a sudden you want your children to have God a priority in their life now when you didn't have it. It's too late. I'm not saying that they'll never have God as a priority. Maybe they'll get right, you know. But I'm just saying, as far as your influence goes, you got to do it now. You know, there's so many parents and so many grandparents that are here, and there'll be older kids. There's so many parents that are sitting in churches all over the world today wishing that their kids were there now, because you know what happened? You know what happened to them? Now, but when they were raising their children and they were working and all that, God was not a priority in their life, and they put anything and everything ahead of God, and they lived their whole life like that, and their kids saw it too. And now they got all that out of the way. They're not working, they're retired, they ain't got nothing else to do. So now they show up at church when they should have. And they show up at church and they're sitting there and say, boy, I wish my kids was here with me. But you know what your kids are doing? They're doing what you were doing. They're living their life, and God's not a priority in life. Now's the time. If we're talking about an heir. It's not an heir to the throne, but it's an heir to you. You know, it's your family line. You're responsible for that. And you know, a lot of parents, I guess all parents, and you know, you look back, parenting is a trial and error deal. We do have a little instruction book called the Bible on how to raise your kids, by the way, but most of us don't follow that when we're raising our kids. And you know what happened? We all look back and we say, man, I wish I'd have done some things different. How many of parents can you say that, right? Say, boy, I wish I'd done some things different. Okay, well, we got some people with young kids, got a brand new baby right there. Don't be one of the parents that's saying, I wish I'd have done things different. You probably still will be, but we always do. Don't be that parent, you know. Do it now. Teach your children the priorities. How about our attitudes? You know, how many of us wish, man, there's so many, how many of you ever put your foot in your mouth? You know what I'm talking about, huh? Wish I hadn't have said that. How many of you got some things to say, I wish I had said? I wish I had said some things. Huh? Your attitudes, you know, we wish we hadn't have done, wish we had have done. I think what happens when in a case like Hezekiah, I'm just, and some of this, I know I'm just speculating because I put myself in his place, and anybody that gets kind of, you know, you start to look within yourself, which is not a bad thing. But you don't have to wait till you get bad news to look within yourself. Like all of us today can like look within ourselves and say, you know, man, a lot of things we wish we'd done different. If I had to do it all over again, you know, I'd do it this way, or a lot of things I wish I hadn't have done. I'm sure he thought about his failures. You know, we think about those things. Maybe there was somebody out there that he needed to go forgive. You know, maybe there was somebody that he, and that he hadn't done that. And maybe there was just somebody he needed to say some things to. And as I said before, there are going to be so many things that seem so insignificant to us when we get to this day in our life. He might start thinking about all the things he could have done for the Lord and didn't do it. I tell people all the time this, you know, you want to lead somebody to the Lord, you know, so they get saved. You got to do it now. We get to heaven and nobody's going to be getting saved. Everybody's there saved. You're never going to lead anybody to the Lord, man. You got to do it now. Well, I'm going to do it one day. Yeah, maybe. Time, if your time's right. But you don't know. There's so many things we know we shouldn't have done, we did it. So many things we know we should have done, we didn't. Maybe there's somebody, you know, you start thinking about things maybe that you put off and didn't seem as important. Maybe there's somebody that he should have said to and we should say to, I love you. Maybe there's somebody that we just should have showed them that we loved them, more so than just the words. Maybe he thought about that. There's a song I like. I listen to a lot of music, and I like music. And there's a Jackson Brown song called These Days. There's a line in the song that says this. It says, these days I seem to think a lot about the things I forgot to do for you and all the times I had the chance to. You know, sometimes it gets to be too late. Maybe there's somebody you just need to say, I'm sorry to them. Or maybe there's somebody you need to say, thank you. Maybe you just need to say thank you. There was a man here just last year in the spring. I found out that he wasn't doing good. They said he might not make it. He had helped me out on a job one time. He'd helped me out get through a welding test I used to have to take. It was really tough. And all of a sudden it just said, you know, I don't know to ever thank the guy for it. I don't think he was, I mean, he probably didn't think nothing about it. I went flying over there that day. I said, I'm going over there today. I went over there and I said, hey, man, I just, you know, back when I went to work there, I said, you helped me. Nobody else would help you. I said, you helped me. And I said, I never thanked you for it, man. I'd have never made it through that if you hadn't helped me. I said, you helped me. Thank you for that. And I was talking to him about the Lord. He accepted the Lord that day too, by the way, a little minor note. But I just needed, he died that night. And the next day they called me and they said he passed away a little bit later that night. So there was time, you know, I had a second to do that. Maybe there's somebody you need to say thank you to. You know, I hope this message just got you to think about some things. Think about this. Look within yourself. And you know, another thing, you're sitting there thinking, man, you know, I got all kind of things that's out of order here I need to straighten out. Man, it's kind of depressing right there. But listen, there's good news that's involved with this. Your condition doesn't have to be your conclusion. Your condition doesn't have to be your conclusion. You know, everybody here, check your pulse. See if everybody still got a heartbeat. Everybody's still breathing. Not sure about a couple of you, but most of you look like you got it. You still breathing, right? Okay. Well, you know what? The Bible says that Hezekiah prayed and that God heard his prayer and he saw his tears. And in verse 5, it said that on the third day, he said, on the third day, you're going to go worship. That was a promise from God. The third day is significant, isn't it? And that's Resurrection Day. That's Resurrection Day, man. Listen, you can live in the power of the resurrected life right now. And you can live in the power of the resurrected life now, and you'll live forever throughout eternity. And listen, Lazarus was a whole lot farther gone than Hezekiah was. The Lazarus, they'd been in the grave. He'd already been in the ground. I think he was in the ground 4 days, wasn't it? 3 or 4 days. Lazarus was farther gone than Hezekiah was, and God said, Jesus said, Lazarus, come out of there. He come up out of the grave right there. Listen, man brought him back, man. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff we wish we'd have done different. You know, some of that stuff can be fixed. You know, we can say I love you and I'm sorry and thank you. And there's some things, and there's probably some things in our life, listen, we can't do much about it. God forgives us, you know. God forgives us. And there's some things that, you know what, we can still go out there and take care of it. And we can take care of that. But I want you to also, I mean, and that's the good news about it, but I want you to be in a solemn way. Remember this, Hebrews 9:27 says this. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die. Yeah. And we don't know how long we got. It was another country song. Live like you're dying, like you were dying. You are. You're dying. We need to live like that. We need to live like that. Priority, man, God. God first. Put your relationship with God. There's nothing more important than that. Nothing. I don't care what kind of crisis you got going on, what kind of problem you got going on in this world. What is, you know, think about it, man. If I'm at my last day, where's my priorities going to change? It's going to change a lot of things. Relationship with God, that's the most important thing. Do you have one? Do you have a relationship with God? If you're saved, if you know it, listen, if there's any doubt whatsoever, get that matter settled today. Say, man, I got saved when the guy asked me. The guy said, have you ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, forgive you every sin? I said, no. He said, you can do it today. I said, I'll do it. And I got saved. God dealt with me on a lot of things. Let's all stand, heads bowed.